is turned on. I don't know if this is turned on.
Is it on?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm new at this.
Yeah, it's on.
Okay. Hello, hello. Testing. Is it working? Okay, I can't hear. Now I can hear. Okay, thank you. Okay, go ahead and turn your Bibles first to 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. I'll read it for you, but just listen. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us Jesus Christ before the world began." I'd like to just point out that first phrase or the first thing where it says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." And so first what I'm going to do today is I'm just going to give you a little bit of my testimony and how I got interested or how I got interested in mechanics and how I got to work at Hiles Anderson College. So my story actually starts as far as mechanics when I was 13 years old. I grew up out in the country in Michigan, and I asked my dad if I could have a car. And my dad, I was the oldest of five children, and we had 3 acres of land, and behind our house was a whole mile of cornfields or whatever they plant that year. And I asked my dad, I said, "Dad, can I have a car?" I was 13 years old, eighth grade, about that tall. And my dad goes, "Well, what do you want a car for?" And I says, "Well, none of my friends have cars." And he goes, "There's probably a good reason, because they're all 13, 14 years old also." And my dad said, "Well, I'll make a deal with you. If you can find a car for free, you can have it." So he pretty much figured that would be the end. But when you're 13, you can do almost anything. So I was so excited. The church we were in was running around 200 people. So first thing I did is I went to everybody in our church that I said, "My dad said if I can find a car for free, I can have it. Do you know anybody that's got an old car that they don't want?" And first everybody said, "Well, not that I can think of." And I said, "Well, just keep your eyes open. You know, help me look for a car." And another thing I did is I got a whole bunch of 3x5 cards, and I wrote down my name and my phone number, and I got on my bike, and out in the country, there's a lot of people that have old junk cars behind their house or in their front yard with weeds growing up through it and stuff. So I got on my bike, and I rode around the block, which is actually 4 miles, because it's a mile and a mile and a mile, And then I went to some other blocks and stuff, and when I go up to the people I don't even know, and I knock on the door and said, "Hi, my name's Jerry, and I just live down the road there. And my dad said if I could find a car for free, I could have it." And most people said, "Well, I don't know of any." So I would say, "Well, here's a 3x5 card with my name and number on it. You should put this on your refrigerator, and then if you ever think of it, then you'll have my number." So several people laughed, and they said, "Okay, we'll think about it." So about 2 weeks went by from the time this started, and a guy in my church came to me, and he goes, "I hear you're looking for a car." I go, "Yes." I'm 13 years old, in eighth grade, that tall. And the guy goes, "My next door neighbor's got an old car. It's kind of beat up, but it runs. And he said, if you want it, you can have it." So I went to my dad and said, "Now, Dad, I try to be a good son and obey all your rules. And I found this car." And my dad goes, "Well, okay." So we went over to he wasn't real thrilled about it. So we went over to the guy's house, and the guy gave my dad the title. And we drove the car home and parked in the backyard. And I said, "Wow, I had my first car." Then I got thinking, my dad really didn't set a limit on how many cars I could get, so I kept asking people. So about another 2 weeks went by, and another guy in my church goes, "I hear you're collecting cars." And I said, "Well, I got one." And he goes, "I got two cars I'll give you." He says, "I use them on my farm, and I don't have plates, and I just throw bales of hay in the trunk." But he said, "I got a pickup truck, and I don't need these anymore, and if you want them, I'll just give them to you." And I said, "Okay, that sounds good." So I told my dad, "No, Dad, I try to be a good son." He goes, "Oh, what do you got now?" I said, "Oh, two cars this time." And so we went over to the guy's house, and the guy gave my dad the keys and the title, and we drove the cars home, and I had three cars. Again, I was 13 years old. So then another couple of weeks went by, and I got a phone call. And it was from one of the people about a mile away that I'd given one of my 3x5 cards to. And the guy says, "Hey, come over. I want to talk to you." So I got on my bike, and I rode a mile down the street and went to this guy's house. And the guy goes, he says, "Well, first I wanted to show you that your card is on the refrigerator, just like you asked." And I said, "Well, thank you." And the guy goes, "The day that you were here," he said, "my son had just decided to go into the Army, and he knew he's going to be gone for 3 or 4 years. And he has a nice car. There's nothing wrong with it. He drives it to work every day. And we didn't know really what to do with it, if we should sell it or what we should do. And we were just talking about it the day you drove up on your bike. And we on purpose, we put that card on the refrigerator. And we've been talking about it. And we just said, if you want it, you can have it. And I go, okay. And so the guy goes, do you know how to drive a stick shift? And I said, yeah, actually, all my cars are stick shift. This is a long time ago. And so I put my bike in the trunk of the car. The guy gave me the keys and the title. I'm 13 years old, and I drive the car about a mile home and park it in the back. And my dad comes home, and that car was actually nicer than my dad's work car that he had. And he goes, where do you get this? I said, the guy gave it to me. And so another couple weeks went by, and another guy in my church goes, I hear you're collecting cars. And I said, well, I got four. And the guy goes, well, I got a car that's been in an accident that the taillights are all smashed and the trunk doesn't open, but it runs perfect. And he said, if you want it, you can have it. And I said, okay, I'll do that. So I went to my dad, and I said, now, Dad, I try to be a good son and obey all you. And he goes, oh, what do you got now? Another car. And so my dad says, well, I'll make a deal with you. He said, I'll let you have this car, but five cars is probably enough for any kid that's 13 years old. And I said, oh, okay, I'll go for that. So for my 14th birthday, what my dad gave me for a birthday present was a Craftsman toolbox with a starter set of tools. And then they make these books that are called Chilton's Manuals or Haynes Manuals. It's like a repair manual for every car. So my dad gave me a repair manual for every one of my five cars. And my dad said, you know, you don't have a job. The summer's coming. You know, you're only 14 now. And he said, why don't you pull the cars in the garage? And he says, like, take the wheels off and take the brakes off. And if you look at these books tell you exactly how to do it. You can take off the starters and the alternators and the brakes. And this book can tell you. If you can step by step, you can figure it out. So that's how I started working on mechanics and stuff like that. And then in 1976, which I realize is a very long time ago, but that's actually when I graduated. So I'm older. Okay, back up. So in 1976 is when I graduated from high school, and we came to youth conference. It's a long story, but our bus broke down, and then they brought us another bus, and the second bus blew up that they brought us, and then we were by the Michigan-Indiana border, and First Baptist sent us a bus, and so we went through several buses, and you know, just kind of a very interesting week. But that week at youth conference, when I heard Brother Hiles preach, and I'd never really heard him preach before, that I asked him after it was over, I just said, I think this is Hiles Anderson is where I should come. So when I went home after youth conference, I asked my pastor, I said, I know God calls some people to be preachers and missionaries and teachers and all kinds of different things, you know. But I said, does God ever call people to do other things? Does he call people to be mechanics? And my preacher's exact words were, he said, God calls people for the job that he needs done. I remember then he paused and he said it. He said, God calls people for the job that he needs done. And he said, he does need some people to be school teachers and preachers and laymen and all kinds of things. But he said, I think there's a place for mechanics, and I think God's calling you for that. And I said, I'm ready. That's what I want to do. And so when I came to college, some of my roommates were being kind of mean, and they were saying, you know, if you're not called to preach, you probably should go home. And I remember thinking, what do I know? I'm just a dumb freshman. I don't know anything. And here these guys are sophomores, and they seem really smart to me. And they're telling me maybe I should go home. And so I went and made an appointment and saw Brother Hiles. And I told Brother Hiles my story, and I said, I know God calls some people to be preachers and teachers and missionaries and school teachers and laymen. And I said, does God ever call people to do other things? And I didn't tell him what my preacher in Michigan said, but Dr. Hiles said the exact word for word that he said, God calls people for the job that he needs done. And that's my first point. Would you say that with me? God calls people for the job that he needs done. And that's my first point. Okay, my second point under this, or just a new point, is God has a prepared place for a prepared person. God has a prepared place for a prepared person. The reason I still work at the college now is God had a prepared place for me here, but I had to be prepared first. I had no idea all the hours and hours that I spent working on those cars when I was a young teenager was preparing me to be a mechanic and what God wanted me to do the rest of my life. And I had no idea at the time the hours that I would spend helping our home church bus mechanic. And I remember being 15, 16 years old and going over to his house, and he said, well, today we're going to change a transmission or we're going to change a clutch. And I said, I have zero idea how to do that. And he said, well, just watch this. And he says, you do things step by step. You take out these bolts first and these first and line it up and all this thing. But I had no idea that what was happening like that. And the reason that Brother Wilkerson is our pastor today is most likely he did not realize it at the time, but God has a prepared person, God has a prepared place for a prepared person. So I'm about 10 years older than Brother Wilkerson, and I knew Brother Wilkerson when he was just a regular college student. And do you want to know what he was like? Yes. He's almost exactly like he is now. He was always willing to help. He would come in the bus garage and say, okay, you need any runs today? You need anything to drive? He would come in and he'd say, okay, I'm willing. What do you need? And we'd say, well, here, take this bus and do this, or pick these people up, or drive this route. But that's how I got to know him when he was just a student, and basically he's almost exactly the same as he is today. And so he wasn't perfect, but he was very balanced, and he was always trying to do his best. So when Brother Wilkerson graduated from Hiles Anderson, First Baptist Church wasn't ready for him yet, but there was a teaching position at City Baptist that was. Maybe you've heard Brother Wilkerson talk about that. Oh, he was prepared for that. And God has a prepared place for a prepared person. Now, most likely, the place that God is preparing for you is not ready yet. That's why everybody says you should always graduate. You should finish first. Maybe the place he is preparing for you, some of them might be ready now. Maybe God has a prepared place for you as a Sunday school teacher, or a bus driver, or a bus captain. It's just something to think about. But God is trying to prepare you now for something in the future. And most of you don't even realize it. You're just going through the day, you know, and taking classes and stuff. But do you realize the reason that you're doing all that is God is trying to prepare you for your future? So after 46 years, I've been here for 46 years working, and I came as an 18-year-old student and sat in this room. I was here when they first built this. I was here when they had the first service here, when the chapel used to be and where the rec room is and stuff. But I've been around a long time, and I've seen a lot of different things. And I was debating what to do here. So some of these things, I'm not trying to be mean or anything. So I think if I want to be mean, I'll just stand over here if I'm being mean anyway. So here's some things that I've noticed after being here for 46 years. And some of the things I've noticed that some people like to play more than they like to prepare. Some people like to play. When I go back over here, I'll be nicer. Some people like to play, more than they like to prepare. Some people like to play on their phones during chapel. Some people play around during church. Some people play around during classes. Now you say, how do I know when I'm preparing? Well, I'm glad you asked. How are you with the people that you live with in the dorms? If you got a very a roommate that's very annoying, or somebody else in your dorm, you don't realize it, but God is preparing you for your future. God has a prepared place for a prepared person, and you don't even realize it yet, but that annoying roommate or whatever it is, that's God trying to prepare you for your future. How are you with the people on your bus route or your fellow bus workers? Are you mean to them? Are you not, how are you to them? How are you? Thank you. How are you with dealing with the unsaved people at work? If you work at a service job like McDonald's or a restaurant or something, how do you treat when somebody treats you bad, when somebody's mad because their order's wrong or something like that, and maybe they're saying unkind things to you? How do you react back to them? Do you realize that God's trying to prepare you because He has a prepared place for a prepared person? Do you show up on time? I'm almost done with this mean stuff. Do you complain all the time? Do you complain about the food? Do you complain about the weather? Do you complain about the traffic? Do you complain about your job? Next page. Okay. Got a little bit more. So how are your thoughts? Have you learned to control your tongue? Do you participate in the song services, even though sometimes they go on and on and on, and If my preacher wants it, I'll do it, but actually I'm preaching to myself here a little bit. So, do you ever ask Jesus for help? Do people ever see Jesus in you? Maybe God is trying to prepare you for something in the future, and you just don't realize it right now. Don't waste your preparation time. Would you say that with me? Don't waste your preparation time. God has a prepared place for a prepared person. On a side note here, we have several different illustrations that you'll like today. So this... So who knows what this is? This is an emergency exit that all of our buses have, or at least supposed to have. So normally we have about maybe one a year that accidentally somehow will get broke and they just flip off and they usually hit the car behind them if they're lucky. Or if you're lucky, they just sit on the road or something. But so this past Sunday, we had our fifth one this year where somehow, I don't know if somebody's preaching and pounding on them or if somebody's hanging upside down on them and put their feet here and... Well, these little catches are just plastic. And what happens is they break very easy. And so far I've been lucky. I've had enough junk buses I can take these off, not steal, but borrow these off of. But I think I've only got one left. So we only have, and you see, these are plastic and the thing breaks. And again, so what happened this past Sunday is the driver just says, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. But our roof hatch is gone, and it's somewhere on the expressway near the state line or somewhere. We don't know where it is. And so what happens when you get it open, you break it, the wind catches it, and it just rips off and falls off the back of the bus. And there's only been one time that I know of that one of these hit a car and broke the windshield on a car. But you know, maybe God has a prepared place for a prepared person, and maybe that prepared person should say, maybe I shouldn't be breaking these all the time. I'm still standing over here. That's just a little side note there. Just a second. Uh-huh. Now it'd be nice over here. Okay, so you say, Brother Jerry, you look like you're getting old. You've probably been here for over 40 years. Could you give me some advice? Well, I'm glad you asked. So my first advice to the person in here would be, actually be very careful who you get advice from. So one of the things I've noticed that you probably don't notice, because I'm about 40, 45 years ahead of you. So let's say, right here you're born, and now you're about right here, and you're in college, and you're asking roommates, what should I do, and what do you believe about this good doctrine, and who should I marry, and all different things like that. But so you're right here, so you're asking your roommates are the same here. Well, the problem is when you get old, but when you get over here, you go, I've seen a lot of things that you probably haven't seen yet. Another thing I've seen, like if I go back in here, see, you can't tell what's going on back here, but I've seen this kind of stuff. So my first advice for you would be careful who you get advice from. Okay, my second advice to you, so if somebody came to me and said, what advice could you give me? I would say every church service, every chapel, every class, realize that the speaker, the teacher has prepared, and God has something very special for you in that message just for you. So what I try to do, I'm not perfect, but what I do every church service, every chapel service, before it starts, I'll pray and I'll say, God, that guy up there that's going to be talking has something that's prepared for me, and I don't know what it is, but I pray that you'll help me catch it, and don't let me miss it. And another advice I would give is most likely that your future mate is around the same age as you are, and most likely your future mate is walking around the earth someday. My advice would be, why don't you start praying for them today? Most likely you don't even know who it is. Why don't you, when you get up in the morning, say, God, I pray for whoever my future mate's going to be. Will you give them a good day? Will you help keep them pure? Will you help them stay out of trouble? Help them to do good on their tests? Things like that. I would suggest even writing them a letter. You could say, "Dear blank," or whatever. On this date today, April 6, 2021, I decided to start praying for you. And I wanted to let you know I prayed for you to have a good day and things like that. Then the last thing under this, I said, I also would pray for yourself that you would be ready. If you want to help to know how to avoid temptation and a lot of things and, you know, and bad things on the internet and stuff, if you prayed for your future mate and you said, "God, I pray that you'll keep my future mate pure and keep her clean mind and everything, and then God, will you please do the same for me?" I guarantee if you do that and you get tempted, you'll go, "Oh, wow, I should stop this because I really want something in my future like that, better than that." Okay, so some of you may have not learned it yet today. Here's the very last thing. Always try to learn one thing new every day. Always try to learn one thing new every day. So since some of you may have not learned something new yet, let me teach you about something that goes a little bit with the close of the sermon. Okay? Now this has to do with different kinds of glass. Okay? And you'll see what this means, and I'll hold it up in a minute here. You'll see why we have this, too, in a minute. Mr. Phil, could I see you for 1 minute? I forgot a hammer. I don't know if you heard that or not. So in a minute, what I'm going to show you is on a bus, if you're riding in a car or a bus, there's always two kinds of glass that every vehicle has. So in a windshield of a car, this is actually a broken windshield from a bus. Somebody hit a rock. So this kind of glass is called laminated. Can you say that? Laminated, okay? And in a few minutes we have a video that'll make sense while we're talking about this. So we have laminated glass. Laminated is like a sandwich, where it has a thin layer of glass, then a thin layer of plastic, and another thin layer of glass. So it looks like one piece of glass, but actually it's two pieces of glass with plastic in the middle. And this is the kind that they have on windshields. And so when you get a hit, I don't know if you can say this has been broke, but it still stays together. Another kind of glass that they have is called tempered. So the way you can remember it, what's this called? Laminated. The way you can remember is laminated, when it cracks, breaks into long cracks. So laminated has long cracks. Let's say that. Laminated has long cracks. They both start with L. I do that on purpose, okay? So the other kind is tempered glass. So like this is a glass for one of the side windows of a bus. So what tempered glass, what that means, tempered starts with a T, and when these break, they break into tiny squares. So say that, tempered breaks into tiny squares. Okay. So actually I sent Phil out because I couldn't find my hammer, and I found my hammer. And I'm going to make Rick Sparks happy. I'll even put these on. So this, again, so if you hit this with a hammer or something, it breaks into things. If you break a glass like this, it will break into tiny squares. If it will break. So that glass breaks into tiny squares. Okay. I found one, Phil. I'm sorry. Should I break this one too? Yeah. Okay. But first, I want you to notice how hard these break. A windshield, if I hit that, that would crack very easy. But watch this. Okay, so see, it breaks into tiny squares. And if every car that you're in, can't see good, okay. Every car that you drive in, if you look at the corner of the window, it will say either tempered or laminated. Okay, now let me just give you a quick backstory. So in a minute, we're going to watch a short video about a bus that had, first, how many people have ever been in an accident before? Wow, okay. So this, I'm going to show you a video about a bus accident that we had. But let me tell you a little bit about the backstory first. So we had a division leader several years ago that on the Saturday would never show up on time to give them their, the driver would never show up on time. So what would happen is they would call and they'd go, I'm sorry, you know, you already, the checkout time is over, but we don't need to, we don't have a bus, we forgot to send the guy back. So the first time I came from my house and gave the guy a key and he took off. Then what happened the next time is he did it again the second time, like a couple weeks later. So I asked Brother Ray, what do I do with this guy that keeps forgetting to, he's very disorganized, he is a division leader, but he's very disorganized and he keeps forgetting to send his people by. So what happened was, Brother Ray told me, he said, well, call the division leader and tell him, the next time this happens, you have two choices. One choice is you can have all your girls ride on a bus from another division that has enough character to show up on time and get their group. Or you can go to Lake County Bus Company and give them $100 cash, and you can take one of their buses. And so that's what happened. So anyway, while the bus was, you'll see in a minute when the video starts. So what happened, the bus is just driving down the road, and I don't know if you ever noticed it, sometimes our ladies are a little high-spirited, and like sometimes maybe they shouldn't, but like if you sit on the back of the seats instead of sitting in the regular seats, and you sway and all different things like that, normally that's okay. But in this particular indication, this time, the bus actually flipped on its side and went skidding down the expressway. And they'll say it's 240 feet, which just is a little bit short of a football field. Okay, so the very last thing before we see the video. So if you're sitting in a bus, so let's say the window was right here, and you're sitting two seats here, and you got the aisle and two seats here. When the bus flips on its side, whoever the poor person is against the window, face is jammed against the glass. And then let's say you wanted to be nice, and let's say every girl weighs 100 pounds. So you still have 300 pounds, or maybe more, pushing on you as you know, they're not doing it on purpose, but they have 300 pounds pushing you as you're there. Okay, so if you were riding in a bus that had tempered glass in the window when it flipped, and it looked like this, what would happen to your face and your arm and the rest of you as you're skidding down the expressway? So on the video, watch the glass that's in there. So Dan, you can go ahead.
Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Anna DeBlantes. It could have been so much worse. Just two of the 46 people on board that bus were seriously injured. Happened on the Bishop Ford Expressway at 159th Street, shutting down several lanes for some time this morning. NBC5's Rob Elgus, live in the control room now with more on the story. Rob?
Anna, these students were coming from Indiana, participating in a weekly routine and visiting inner city kids to teach them about religion. But state police believe it may have been their enthusiasm that caused this wreck. Visibly upset and shaken, uninjured passengers call their friends and families.
They were in good spirits right now, knowing that everybody's okay, and just worried about those that are in the hospital.
State police say the driver was obeying the speed limit, and what was going on inside caused this accident.
For unknown reasons, they were singing, they started swaying back and forth, the bus started rocking, the driver lost control, and it skidded approximately 240 feet on the right shoulder. I didn't know what to think. I just wanted to help.
Randy Glover, an off-duty Glenwood firefighter, was one of the first on the scene.
A lot of chaos. When I got to the bus, as I said before, there were a lot of students that were out of the bus, except for one girl who was trapped in the bus with her arm under the bus.
This is the side of the bus that rolled to the ground. The broken windows and dented metal, an indication of the force of impact.
And these kids are students training for the ministry.
Eddie Lapina is an assistant pastor at First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. He says the passengers attend Hiles Anderson College. Officials from the Bible College want to find out if the students were singing and swaying inside.
If it was, it's something we do not allow. And our drivers are trained very heavily not to allow things that are distracting to the drivers.
State police have not cited the driver or any of those passengers. Troopers say this is something many of them have never seen before and that none of the passengers were breaking the law. Live in the control room, Rob Elgus, NBC 5 News, Anna.
Injured when their bus rolled over on the Bishop Fornick Freeway. Emergency crews shut down all but one of the northbound lanes of the Bishop Ford just after 10 this morning. State police say the driver lost control of the bus near 159th Street. Workers at the Goodyear shop near the accident saw the whole thing happen and quickly rushed to help.
We heard a boom. I was standing right there. And I looked over here, the bus was swaying. Then it turned over. When it hit the rock, call 911, and everybody here, man, start coming out, and nobody wait. They just run over to there, try to assist, see what they can do to help.
There was a girl had her arm trapped underneath the aluminum where the window was, so we ran back to the shop and got a couple bars and a couple hammers.
Two people on board were critically injured. 14 others were treated for minor injuries. The bus was from Hiles Anderson College near Crown Point, Indiana. College students slipped and rolled on the Bishop Ford Freeway today, sending dozens to the hospital. Good afternoon, I'm Sylvia Gomez.
And I'm John Duncanson. It happened this morning just past 10 o'clock on the Bishop Ford near 159th Street. The crash forced authorities to shut down all but one of the northbound lanes, backing up traffic for hours. The bus accident left 32 college kids injured, two in serious condition. CBS 2's Chelsea Irving explains the bizarre ironic twist that actually caused the crash.
A state police sergeant at the scene tells us he's never seen an accident like this one before. A school bus rollover caused by the passengers singing and swaying. 17 ambulances raced to the scene at about 10 this morning. State police say a group of college kids from Crown Point, Indiana, were on board the bus heading north on the Bishop Ford at about 159th Street. That's when their singing and swaying became too much for the bus to handle.
The bus started rocking back and forth, and apparently they did it too much, and the bus just flipped over.
32 of the 46 passengers were hurt, two seriously. The students were coming from Hiles Anderson College, a Baptist Bible college in Crown Point. School officials say they were on a weekly trip to the north side of Chicago.
And these kids are students training for the ministry, and that's where they go visit inner city kids on Saturdays.
Eddie Lapina's daughter was one of those on the bus.
My daughter was shooken up. She's fine. They were in good spirits right now, knowing that everybody's okay.
State police say the driver was not speeding at the time of the crash, but may have used poor judgment.
If every passenger on the bus was, you know, just swaying, they weren't violating any law by singing, but probably wasn't the best thing to do.
Chelsea Irving, CBS 2 News.
And so far, no charges have been filed against the bus driver.
So every story has a backstory or something behind the scenes. It's like I already told you about how that particular bus that they're first you see the windows, see how there's one that's broke out and there's one in the back. The one where the glass is broke out, the reason it did is that bus had tempered glass. Well, first, I don't have time to finish the whole story, but after I saw that, so I've been a mechanic my whole life, and every couple months, somebody throws a rock at one of our buses and breaks the glass. So I'd say in my life, I've replaced way over 100 windows from some stupid people throwing rocks at our bus. But every one I did in my whole life until I saw this had the tempered glass. So when you hit, if you're in the bus and somebody throws a rock at this, it basically, tempered glass is very strong. What it does is it hits and actually absorbs the intact pack, and usually the rock will fall on the outside. The reason they don't use laminated glass for a side window is because if somebody throws a rock at this, when it breaks, like little shards of glass will get sprayed on the passengers. So what I found when I saw that bus, I go, I've never in my life seen a bus that had laminated glass in the side. And what I found out is that bus was made in Ohio, And at the time, there were only two states in the United States required laminated glass, a kind like this. And that was Ohio and I think Arizona. I also found out that that bus was 17 years old, so the people riding on the bus were only 1 or 2 years old when the bus was made. So I wrote them all a letter and I said, even though this is a very bad thing that you've been in this accident, that even back then God was preparing for you, and even when you were a baby, he knew that he was going to watch over you and take care of you. I don't know if you noticed in the thing when they were having the videos, one of the things was a guy that's an off-duty paramedic. It was a black guy that just said, I was just there and I tried to help. And you know, almost every girl on the bus said that was the nicest thing, to have somebody that actually came in and said, I know what I'm doing, follow me, help me, like that. I don't know if you noticed those guys at the tire shop. The accident just happened right at where the big Goodyear tire shop is. They fix truck tires and stuff. And when the bus flipped on its side, the one where the window got broke out, where the girl in there was named Gretchen, and actually she got her arm was caught under the bus, and it ripped part of the skin off her hand and everything. And so when everybody got off the bus, she could not get out, and she was caught. And it just happened just where the bus was, right at the Goodyear tire spot, you know, Goodyear tire place. They have all these really big, long steel bars that they use to fix bus tires and truck tires. And they saw it happen, and they ran over and put bars and actually pried the bus up so they could get the girl out. But just so many things that it's all backstory. You can't even think, you know, how in the world could God have all that together? And so, like I said, I already mentioned that the reason they had that bus is because this was the third time that they were late, the division there. They paid $100 and went and got it done. The bus that I had ready for them that was parked, you know, was parked out in the regular bus lot, that they, if they would have showed up on time, the one that they would have had the tempered glass. And I checked, actually, in the letter that I wrote to them, to the girls after the accident was over, I said, I never in my life had seen a bus with laminated glass in the side. And I went and checked every bus I had. And at the time, I had 36 buses at the college, and only two of them had laminated glass, and one of those wasn't running. So when they went to Lake County Bus, or you know, to get the bus because they were late, and Lake County Bus had no way of knowing. The guy says, oh, I need a bus. Here's $100. Here's, and the bus that God had them in just happened to be that bus. And there's so many things that happen behind the scene that you just never think about. So nobody was killed. When I went to pick the girls up at the hospital, when they all came out, it looked like they came from a Halloween party. I brought a van, and they all come out with their arms and their head all wrapped up and everything. And it was almost laughable, but because you would think, oh, good, how was the Halloween party? And they go, well, we weren't at a Halloween party. You know, it was like that. But I think God knows the future. I think he knows about the war in Ukraine. I think he knows who our president is. I don't think you need to really worry about that. We have a God worth serving. People ask me all the time how I can work at a place for so long. Well, the answer is, number one, I know God calls people for the job that he needs done. Number two, I know that God has a prepared place for a prepared person. And don't waste your preparation time. And then the last point that's related to this is God protects and cares for his own. God protects and cares for his own. This bus crash story is just one of the million stories that we'll never know about till we get to heaven. God is in control. He's protecting you, and he's preparing you. And that's just one of the reasons I've decided to follow Jesus. Jesus, let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for letting me talk today. Pray something I said will be a blessing to people now and in the future. Amen.